Good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, and thank you so much for joining me on this Erev Shabbos Parshas Toldos. This week, we have the good fortune of reading Parshas Toldos, which begins by describing the very difficult and challenging start to the beginning of the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. We know that Yitzchak and Rivka, like Avram and Sarah, and as Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, all suffered from infertility, were unable to begin to build a family when they had wanted to, when they were first married. And the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Toldos that Yitzchak and Rivka davened. Vayeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. The Torah tells us that Yitzchak davened l'nochach ishto. That word l'nochach is a difficult word to translate, particularly in this context. What exactly does it mean that he davened l'nochach ishto? So the Rashbam and the Radak tell us that this means that he davened on behalf of his wife. Now that's a little strange, because on whose behalf would he be davening? After all, the Torah tells us that Rivka was an akara, ki akara hi, because she was barren. So naturally, Yitzchak would daven on her behalf. The Radak says what this means is that he davened not only that he should have children, but that he should be zochet to have children with Rivka. We know, for example, when Avram and Sarah were unable to have children together initially, so Avram begins to build a family with Hagar. And so therefore the Radak says, L'nochach yishto means that Yitzchak davened that he should be zochet to have children with Rivka. Rashi, however, on this pasuk, quotes the more familiar, the more famous explanation. What does it mean, L'nochach yishto? Says Rashi, this means that he davened, that he prayed opposite his wife. Says Rashi, Ze'omid b'zavazum is palel. Yitzchak would stand, as it were, in this corner of the room, and he would daven. And Rivka would daven on the other corner. So this is interesting, but why is it important for the Torah to tell us this? Does it really matter where exactly Yitzchak and Rivka were, how the room was configured when they were davening in order to have children? That seems a little strange. So the Radak, in explaining this interpretation of the pasuk, tells us that Yitzchak prayed opposite Rivka, l'nochach ishto, in order that he should be able to concentrate fully on her. It's also a little difficult to understand, but at least something we can appreciate. Sometimes when we daven, we can get distracted, we can lose our concentration and begin to think about other things. And so therefore the Radak explains that Yitzchak davens l'nochach ishto, facing his wife, so he could remember ki akarahi, that she was in fact an akara. But I would like to share with you an alternative explanation that I saw from Rav David Silverberg, a very, very beautiful way to explain l'nochach ishto, perhaps on a little more of a deeper level. Now, you know, the Rashi tells us earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Lech Lecha, that when Sarah was unable to conceive initially, so naturally she was very grief-stricken over this. And she had a tremendous amount of pain and suffering associated with her infertility. Avram responsible. So Rashi over there, quoting the Medrash, says something which is amazing. She says to him, when you daven to Hashem, matitein li va'anochi aloch el riri. When Avram said to Hashem, what will you give me? Says, sorry, you did not include me in your prayer. You should have davened for both of us. So what happened? Hashem heard your prayer. He heard your plea. And so he has allowed you to begin to build a family through Hagar. And so therefore, Sarah expresses her very, very, challenging suspicions that Avram Avinu did not daven that they should be zochet to have children together. Similarly, we find in next week's parsha, Parshas Vayetzeh, that we know that Yaakov and Rachel are unable to have children. Yaakov first conceives through Leah. And this was obviously also a source of great pain and suffering for Rachel. And the Torah tells us in the beginning of Perek Lamed that when Rachel saw that she was unable to conceive through Yaakov, she was consumed with jealousy, and she said to Yaakov, Havali vanim, literally, give me children. What exactly does that mean? Rashi's clearly bothered by this over there. Give me children? So Rashi says something that's unbelievable. He says, V'chikach osa avichi limecha? Is this what your father did? V'alo hispalel aleha. Your father davened that they should have children. In other words, Rachel as well sort of suspected that her husband Yaakov, who already had children from another wife, perhaps had not prayed on her behalf, on Rachel's behalf. Now, it seems reasonable to assume that these suspicions, both on the part of Sarah and on the part of Rachel, were incorrect, and that they were a result of a very genuine and natural sense of tension and frustration and pain and suffering experienced by Sarah and Rachel as a result of their infertility. And we have to assume that Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu did pray, not only on their own behalf, but on behalf of their wives. But it does seem that only Yitzchak was able to demonstrate in a way that his wife understood that when he was davening, it was not only with him in mind, but it was with her in mind as well. He davened lenochach ishto in a manner that was visible to her, that he showed her that I care not only about myself, but I care about you. And we see from here something which is incredibly profound and important, and that is that in life, there are different ways that we can display care for another. We know, of course, that there's a concept of sympathy. When we feel a sense of sympathy for another person, well, we're concerned about their pain, we worry about them, we feel a sense of compassion, and perhaps we'll be moved to action. But sympathy is very different than empathy. Empathy, as we know, means that a person is able to sort of put themselves in another's place. That it's not just that I see that you are in pain, it's not just that I see you're in suffering, but somehow I identify with you in that place. I let you know not just that I feel bad for you, but I am sharing somehow in your burden. To be no seba olim chaveiro, that I care about you, that I somehow identify with the pain and the suffering. This doesn't mean that a person, in order to display empathy, has to say, or for that matter, should say, I know what you're going through. The reality is that most often than not, we don't know what another person is going through. But just because we don't know doesn't preclude us from being able to display a genuine sense, not just of concern and compassion, but empathy. Why is it that people sometimes lack empathy? I mean, there could be many reasons, and there are certain individuals who perhaps by nature are more empathic than others. But on a certain level, I think it's fair to say that one who lacks empathy is probably in some way looking to protect himself from pain. It's not necessarily selfish, but it is on a certain level about self-preservation. And if I can allow myself to be a little vulnerable and expose myself to pain, so then I could be lenochach another person. I could be with them, truly with them. Yitzchak, understandably, on a certain level, would have loved to be able to daven in another place, not having to be in the same room with his wife, because looking at her, seeing her in her pain and suffering, undoubtedly must have increased his own pain and suffering so much to have to see his wife in so much pain and suffering. But yet the Torah tells us, Vayetar Yitzchak lenochach ishto, that he davened facing her, not merely as the Radak said, so he can concentrate on her, but to let her know, to let her know. And unfortunately, Rivka's mother-in-law, Sarah, and her daughter-in-law, Rachel, were not fortunate to have this experience. They didn't know the truth. And the truth is that their husbands were really, really davening on their behalf, but they were unable to display the empathy in that way. You know, empathy is more than just an interpersonal trait between two people. It goes to the heart of the mitzvah of Alachta B'drachav. The Torah tells us numerous times in the end of the Chumash that we are to emulate the ways of Hashem. Soloveitchik said that this is one of the most all-encompassing mitzvahs in the Torah. An incredible mitzvah, which basically tells us that we are to constantly look for hints, for clues, for traces of God's modeling throughout the Torah, and to emulate him, to try to be like God. Now, of course, we can't be God, but on a certain level, we can be like God. Mahu chanun afata tehi chanun. Mahu rachum afata, so too you should try to be a rachum. Rashi explains in the beginning of Sefer Shemos that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces himself to Moshe from within a burning thorn bush, a sned that had thorns, is because he was trying to say to Moshe, Imo Anochi Betzara, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, I am with you. Now, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't share the human experience in any sort of literal way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Yaakov, that of course, with Bnei Yisrael, that doesn't mean that I am with you in the sense that I am literally feeling your pain and suffering the way a human being would. But what it does mean is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating that when you suffer, I suffer. And I don't suffer from a distance. I don't suffer from a far, far away from my ivory tower. I suffer with you. Imo Anochi Betzara. I am with you literally in the burning thorn bush. I am with you in your place of suffering, and you need to trust me. There's a plan. I'm with you now, as Hashem says, and I will be with you in the future, in good times and in bad times. So we have in the beginning of Parshas Toldos such a powerful demonstration of the importance of empathy. How important it is to remember that when we see other people suffering, it is not simply enough to be concerned about them from a distance. It's not enough to say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. But to really, really put ourselves in a place which is sometimes uncomfortable, in which we expose ourselves for the potential for it to be a little painful and for it to make us feel a little vulnerable. But in the process, we do such a tremendous chesed. We are able to let somebody know, I am there. Like Yitzchak Davin Lenochach Ishto, I am there with you. Thank you so much for joining me. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.